Hello and welcome to Reasonably Fit. We're Jason and Lauren Pack, and this is the podcast for anyone who wants a more thoughtful and grounded approach to health and fitness.
In today's episode, we interview our friend and colleague, Justice Roe Williams. Justice is a poet, writer, author, and now co-editor of his upcoming anthology, Deconstructing the Fitness Industrial Complex, How to Resist, Disrupt, and Reclaim What It Means to Be Fit in American Culture. This unique book takes the journey of diverse bodies from coaches to fitness enthusiasts and their experience of the fitness industry and what it means to create inclusive movement spaces. Justice is also a certified personal trainer, head coach at Kettlebell Justice, founder of the Queer Gym Pop-Up and Body Image for Justice, and executive director of Fitness for All Bodies based in Boston. Justice is a trans, body positive, and social justice activist that continues to create safe spaces for all bodies now across the globe through his work with Fitness for All Bodies. He advocates for fitness being for everybody and the importance of trainers and fitness professionals to protect their clients and create safe, affirming practices and spaces. We've worked with Justice in many different settings over the years, and we're always inspired by his ability to connect with the people around him in a deep and meaningful way. And we were happy to do it again for today's episode, so we really hope you enjoy this interview with Justice Roe Williams.
All right, we are so excited to have Justice Roe Williams with us on the podcast today. Welcome, Justice. Woo!
Welcome. Oh, why did I say welcome?
So Justice,
thank you.
Justice is someone we've known for a really long time now. I think the first time we met you was at Perform Better Summit, maybe? And you had come up to me talking about getting ready for the Strong First certification.
Yes, the Strong First.
So this is a long, this is maybe 8, 9, 10 years ago, somewhere along those lines where we started working together, training you for the Strong First certification. And I feel like you are very good at staying connected with people for long periods of time. I feel like I've been talking to you over the years more often than some of my best friends. And you just are good at just keeping connected with people, figuring out what's going on in their lives, and just being a caring person in the background. So it's awesome to have you here. And now, over the years, you have developed the Queer Gym Pop-Up. You are speaking all around the world, literally all around the world. You're lecturing. You're doing so many amazing things. And now you have a book, which is one of the reasons that we want to have you on the podcast. But basically, for those of our audience who don't know who you are, we'd love to have you just introduce yourself a little bit.
So my name is Justice. I like to say that I'm the first and foremost is I'm a lover. You know, one of the things is I love people. I love my community. And everything that I do is in that framework, whether it's perfect or not, because there's no idea perfect, right? The underarch is always about love. Right. And so I'm a lover. I'm actually a longtime poet. People don't really know that, but they know it when I start to talk, because you could kind of hear that cadence in my voice, you know, from lots of poetry readings and poetry slams. But so I'm a poet, you know, I'm now an editor and an author, and I'm a coach. And I like to say, when I say coach, I wear many hats, and I don't walk into the gym with this framework of we're just going to work out, because the reality is that my clients bring their lives into my studio, and that as a coach, it is my responsibility to create a space where they feel authentically themselves to both move and heal in ways that, you know, sometimes we're not trained up in the Perform Better conferences, or, you know, the other trainings that we receive via polishing up movement. I ultimately believe that meeting my clients where they're at is the best way to move the client and move myself, because I'm always learning, right? And so acknowledging that learning, and always with a foundation of love.
Amazing. Now, I remember working with you for the Strong First certification, and during that time, I was very indoctrinated by their approach, which is very strict standards and how you should move and how you should do things. And really, conversations with you and just the overall like zeitgeist at the time, like, really opened my eyes to wait a minute, there's not just one way to move your body. There's not just, we can't just conform every single person out there to these very strict ideals. And I remember having conversations with you and I'd be like, yeah, why do you have to do it like that? Why do you have to have your knees just so? Why do you have to have your back angled just so? And we would start to have these conversations, and that really kind of broke me out of this mindset of movement has to fit this one box, and then expanded my just overall perception of what movement could look like, and now has made me become a much better coach. So in coaching you, you actually helped me to become a better coach. So thank you for that.
That's cool, because getting coached by you made me a better coach. So thank you for that.
What a symbiotic relationship.
It went full circle. Now, yes. Talk to me about Queer Gym Pop-Up, because that was one of your first projects that I became aware of.
Yes, the Queer Gym Pop-Up actually, it came from Body Image for Justice. So Body Image for Justice is the root of all of the body work that I've been doing. And it started with ensuring that BIPOC or Black trans individuals were receiving access to the things that they needed to be both mentally and physically healthy, receive a sense of loving ourselves no matter what the world tells us about the skin that we're in, because the foundation of the work that we do with our bodies has to be from love, right? And that love has to have a deeper source from within, and knowing that we know who we are, right? That depth. And we know where we're going, like the steps that we're going to walk to reach our goal, right? And so it's basically Body Image for Justice. I like to tell people, and I still use it, is that, you know, when I meet people, I try to create a cocoon, right? So that that inside that cocoon, whether whoever I'm working with, my client, you know, those within the trans community feel safe, battling, you know, all the demons, battling all the things that both the world has told us about ourselves, and really changing and refining ourselves and becoming our authentic self. All of that is happening within that cocoon, right? We all know about butterflies, right? So first you're a worm, a caterpillar, not a worm, but you inch like a worm. You're a caterpillar, right? And from that caterpillar, right, you exist in one life, right? So it's almost like us. We exist in this one body, right? And we have to kind of change and move in ways that we could become the butterfly, become our authentic selves, right? And that's gonna, I feel like that with Body Image for Justice, we created these conversation spaces where we would sit around and talk. We created an extension where I was working out with people at the gym and really talking to them, not about what male bodies look like and what female bodies look like, but what health and movement can do initially to bring us to our overall goal. And an expression of our trans existence is deconstructing that binary. So trying to see our lives and our bodies in ways beyond what the world says about man and woman, just loving ourselves beyond that. And then we find ourselves, our honest, authentic selves. So from Body Image for Justice, while working in kind of like a box gym space, I was getting a lot of trans community that was seeking me out, and they didn't feel comfortable in these box gyms, not because of the space that we create, but, you know, mainly because community members aren't really open to transness, and therefore working out with trans people. And, you know, then there's the thing about, well, what restroom are they going to use, or what locker room are they going to use, or what's this and what's that? And, you know, no one deserves that, period, the end. You know what I mean? Like, I think that, so shifting from the Body Image for Justice to creating a space where we could all move together in a collective community framework and love and not be judged. and move in ways and have, you know, people who are of masculine center that identify as trans come in with their shirts off and not be questioned, right? When cis people are around, what are those marks or what are this, you know? I feel like creating a space where we could just be regular, right? around each other really empowers us to love ourselves regardless. When they walk out of the queer gym pop-up, their armor is polished, right? Much like what I say, I feel like part of the work is sharing love with others and being open and willing to help others be exposed to my experience and my story, but also polishing the armor of those who've been traumatized, triggered, right? Oppressed, beaten down, bullied, right? Really polishing the armor to say that not everyone is malicious, and that we have to polish our armor and reach out. Even though it might be, you know, that person's an asshole, we have to go to the next person, because it's that exposure that helps people to move from one space to another. And unfortunately, because we live in a system that tells us what to do, it's really hard for people to think critically about their own life experience beyond the life experience of the person in front of them. Right. So the more we are exposed, we get that practice, and you find that that person that you thought was being malicious just was ignorant and didn't know. And from that exposure, you have changed their life along with empowering and changing your own. So really, that was the focus of my work. Not really, because I don't believe in separating ourselves from the larger community. Right. Because the Queer Gym pop-up actually was a space open to everyone, not just queer people. And that's one of the things that we talked about as a community. It wasn't something that I was like, oh, I'm going to do myself. Every move that I made with everyone that walked in the door, whether they were a one-time person that came in or they came in every time we had a queer gym, everyone had voice in what that space looked like. Right. The agreements that we placed on the board. Right. And the energy. Right. Because I can't hold that energy by myself. So, you know, it has to be contagious. So everybody has to feel the love and be able to share the love. Mm-hmm. Right. And so we began these queer gym pop-ups. Unfortunately, right before COVID, we did it right before COVID. But what was powerful about that is the pop-up into Fitness for All Bodies. As you know, the queer gym pop-up. And I had one of these conversations with you when I came and I worked out with you, was just thinking about the ways that coaches are working with bodies and expanding this idea of what it means to work with all bodies, not just general population that you think cis bodies are the only bodies that are in the world, right? But there are all types of bodies that are in the world. And I felt like as coaches, we're only given one book to read from. We're not giving an array of options, to tools to be placed in our toolkit in order to work with different people, right? General template is good, but the reality is that you give a general template with the practice of thinking critically, right? Mm-hmm. With that practice, you could use concepts from the general toolkit, but you're meeting that body where it's at. And you can think critically about the needs of that body, right? What is different from what you would normally give from that generalized, like, template or cookie cutter model. So I decided from, you know, these queer gym pop-ups that I needed to expand my work and work more with coaches. Because we as coaches, our bodies aren't in alignment with this idea of perfection. And I also learned that by going to perform. I go to perform better and they would treat us like we're elite. But I'm looking around the room and half the people's broken, stiff, not doing the things the way that they say, right? And I'm like, wait a minute. Now, here we are coaches. We're supposed to be the elite and our bodies aren't perfect. So why are we teaching this methodology and this model to our clients? Right? It's a lie. So we have to shift that narrative, not only with clients, but with coaches. as well as thinking about the ways that gyms, when we think about what we were talking about earlier, when we think about masculinity and we think about patriarchy and the history of gyms being that man's space and how it's opening up and becoming a space for all, how are we deconstructing those toxic, hyper-aggressive, masculine ideas that we receive from gym spaces? So I felt like we needed to change the conversation around movement to a more, not inclusive, because I feel like inclusive is like a pop word, or revolutionary is like a pop word, but a more community space where we learn and acknowledge that everyone in that space is different. Everybody in that space is different. And that cookie cutter model, it may not work for 89% of the people in that space.
Yeah.
So how are we shifting that narrative on a larger systemic scale, not just one-on-one? Because we could all do that one-on-one, right? And it's actually engaging to that client, right? Or your practice. But how are we amplifying these models? And that's where fitness for all bodies come in, right? It comes in so that we're not only connecting with those who have the science around body movement, but those who are activists and have been changing that dynamic and the ideas that we have been force-fed in that science, right? How they have been shifting the narrative for their clients, for their bodies, for trans bodies, queer bodies, fat bodies, able bodies, right? How are we generally looking at our community? How are we building relationships with our community? It's more than just inclusion, because it's not just the best business practice. It has to be a life ritual. It's something that you could use both in the gym. That's like we say fitness, right? Both in the gym and outside of the gym. If our fitness is for in the gym and outside of the gym, right? Then the ways that we are relating with our clients, with our staff, with, you know, creating that general space, right? How are we occupying space in the community around us? Are we welcoming, or are we limiting and shutting people out? Is this a true resource for the community that I have an established gym business in, right? So all of these things have to come into play when you're thinking about, well, I am a movement specialist, or I want to open a gym somewhere, right? You have to begin to see yourself as a change agent, shifting the narrative around toxic ideas of fitness and re-embodying it so that it's a lived experience for all bodies. Don't take this cookie cutter model. We have to shift that narrative systemically, not just on a one-on-one basis. Therefore, we have fitness for all bodies.
Amazing.
Did I do a good job? Yeah.
Amazing.
That was so much more than we could ever have asked for. That was perfect.
You know, when you first created Fitness for All Bodies, it was Lauren and I were like, this is amazing, because we've always been talking about how certifications need to change, how these textbooks need to change, the distributors of education have to evolve and adapt. We can't just only look at this, you know, this kind of like a
cookie cutter
approach of this able-bodied person being able to do everything perfectly. Like, and the deepest they go in terms of working with more people is if someone has knee pain or back pain. It's like that's it just scratches the surface on so many different body types that you can really encounter when you're working as a professional, as a fitness professional. And it's so important, the work that you do. And we are so thankful for it.
Yeah, I feel like there are so many coaches out there who have been basically begging for this, for your education, for the type of education that you're providing, because it's become so much more clear to so many coaches that we know that there needs to be more education around training all bodies. But it's been hard to find it, right? Like, it's been like, okay, but now, okay, I know that. And now I can start asking more questions. I think that's one of the early things that we learned from you is like, just asking more questions of our clients. How does that feel in your body? You know, do you want to do this a little bit differently? Like being more open to feedback from them about how the movement feels, as opposed to you're the expert. I'm the expert. I'm going to tell you how to do this. That's a huge lesson that we've learned from you, and so, so appreciate that. And I just think that there are so many more coaches out there who want to know, like, what is the approach? How do we start to evolve our coaching to be meeting more people where they're at?
I think that, thank you so much for highlighting it, because I think that the meeting people where they're at concept, like, people stare at me and they're like, how am I going to do this? Or, and I'm like, well, first, it is letting go of ego. It is understanding that you don't know everything. And part of meeting people is talking to them,
yeah,
right? So really having authentic conversations about not just these expectations that even we ourselves place on clients. I remember the first time I had my first client. And before all of this, even though I was a social justice person, I just wanted to be like a good coach, right? And it was like my worst experience. It really was my worst experience, because I couldn't really feel loving. I felt so militant. Like, I was like, oh, you gotta do it. And the workout was good. And actually the person liked it. But it wasn't satisfying for me. I didn't feel like I was bringing my authentic self to the practice. And so I literally, cause I like to laugh. I recall people in my gym being like, Justice, we'll hear you laughing. The gym is so big. It's like so big. And I'll be like in one room across the gym, and they'll be like in another room across the gym. And I say, we hear you. It echoes through the gym. And I say, because working out should never be a punishment.
Yeah.
Unless there's some people that like that, right? And that's good, right? Because there's all different people. But I feel like movement should be an accent to our life, right? It should be like something that amplifies, elevates, illuminates, you know what I mean? And that movement doesn't have to be a cookie cutter model, because bodies aren't. I remember the squat conversation. Oh, knees gotta go here. Da-da-da. And I'm like, wait a minute, all legs look different. So if everybody's knees look like that, I don't know if everybody would be able to squat, right? Like, thinking about the way that I was taught, right? And then thinking about the bodies, one of the most powerful things that happened to me as a fitness coach, right, that empowered me and gave me the ability to amplify my voice was training with Jason, and this is in the book, was training with Jason. And I'll never forget this. And Jason said, we learn from bodies, not books. And when he said that, something just keyed in my brain. It was like, boo, 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 boo. Like a lightning. I was like, yeah. I learned so much from each person's body, not books, right? I've learned from all of my clients, even the clients that came in and they were really hard. And I remember some of my colleagues being like, I can't work with them. She can't stand up right. And I go, well, I guess, you know, I'll do it, you know, because it's learning. And I learned, and my clients was like, wow, no one ever. I'm like, well, I'm gonna be honest. I don't really know what I'm doing. I'm actually just talking to you and navigating book information from what you tell me, but I'm going to take it slow and you're going to guide me through this process and tell me what works right for you. And in that process, I developed more than a client. I actually live in the client's house now and rent underneath her. And yeah, she is like my biggest, she like goes up and down the street. You got to work out with Chuck. So it's like everybody on the block knows that I'm a coach. And some of them talk to me about like moving, or, you know, I help Claire down the street, you know? So it's like, I feel like if we're able to open ourselves up more and learn more and let go of our ego, we become such an amazing coach, trainer, and we don't understand that. It's not about pushing someone to do something we think they should do, but being honored to be a part of their journey and walking with them step by step and just watching them get stronger and build themselves, like allowing them the space to be their whole authentic self and find power in that. That is a good coach.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
Love it. Yeah, especially when you are earlier on or less experienced as a coach, ego really drives a lot of the way you coach. And not only fulfilling your own ego, but like also being like, okay, I can't get my client to squat below parallel, so that makes me a bad coach. So you're so worried about how everything reflects back on you when you should really be in the moment trying to be curious and figuring out how to best work with the individual that's in front of you and doing what's best for them. And yeah, I think really what you're talking about with dropping the ego first and foremost as the entry point for this conversation is very important.
I agree.
Now, let's fast forward a little bit to your book. I was really excited about because, you know, in social media, ideas can be stolen and not shared and reposted improperly and stuff like that. So to have all of your thoughts in a book just that lives on forever is an amazing accomplishment. And this must have been an enormous project to tackle. And we're grateful that you tackled it. Your book is called Deconstructing the Fitness Industrial Complex, How to Resist, Disrupt, and Reclaim What It Means to Be Fit in American Culture. We'd love for you to talk about what the book is about, who it's for, and why you wrote it.
So earlier we were just talking about how we all feel like we're outliers in this work, right? Whether we're shifting, we're changing. And I feel like, you know, we are in a way, because what mainstream media does is separate us from each other, right? Disconnects us in ways where we don't even see each other, right? Doing this work. After Fitness for All Bodies, and while we were doing this work, we were doing like a lot of education pieces. And I felt like a lot of the conversation was people thinking that they were the only one doing this unique brand of activism within fitness, right? Even I myself, right, thought that I was walking into an art studio with a blank canvas about to create my own art. And the reality is that I am sharing this canvas with so many artists that have began to paint this beautiful picture and just needed me to come in and do my part, right? I feel like that's what the book is. The book is sharing like this larger narrative that helps people to see their stories, right? See their bodies in this book. This book is powerful. It's 3 years of work with North Atlantic Books. But I'm going to say it's a lifetime of activism and learning on my own self about like being humble. Being humble actually is one of the things that helps to amplify the work of social justice, right? Not saying that my voice is the only voice. I have a voice that is unique and should be heard. And each person has a voice that is unique and should be heard. And that is important framework for me to not have one narrative in a book, because we're told to be lazy, right? We're told to take that one book and be like, that is the word of God. This is my Bible. So I'm like, if we're going to have a Bible, then we should have as many authors as we can in that Bible, so that people can see the difference in technique, the different bodies, they could get as many tools as they can out of that one book, right? Than they would with one person's perspective. I don't believe in just sharing one perspective on things, because that doesn't fit all narratives, and that's not social justice. Mm. So the passion of me is always, you know, checking myself and being humble, but always pulling people in and amplifying and uplifting them and actually helping them to see that they're already doing this work. If you're questioning it, you're already doing it this work, right? You and there is no such thing as perfection in this work. You're allowed to make mistakes. That's the way we grow and learn, right? And so this book to me is really like, it's kind of like a part of the purpose, like seeing a collective amplified movement, right? In a way that is truly inclusive, that truly includes. It's not one perspective saying what inclusion is. It's multiple perspectives defining inclusion for their communities, for their culture, for their clients, for their geographic location. You get it? Mm-hmm. In context is very important. And each person's context is different.
Yeah, you know, as you were talking about just bringing more voices in, I've realized that this is what you've done so consistently for as long as I've ever known you. You don't have just a lecture just by yourself. You always have panels, whether it's online or in person, or this book is an anthology of different voices being heard. And yeah, that's it really just clicked for me as you were just saying all this of you are truly being inclusive because you always are bringing other voices into the fold to get different perspectives. And I think that's really what it comes down to. We need more perspectives, not just this one very narrow-minded view of what fitness is or what anything is, really. And yeah, we're very grateful that you are just providing a platform for many different voices and perspectives and bringing people together. And people can truly feel it when they just are in your presence, whether it's at an event or it's an online event or even a powerlifting meet, which you recently hosted for the first time. People can feel the love, they can feel the community, and you are very special, Justice. So thank you.
Thank you. I know it's always got to be about, you know, the baseline and the foundation. I think that I've been very blessed because, and I say this because this is a privilege. I've been blessed to have a mother that have loved me regardless of my energy, my absent-mindedness, my mistakes, my transness, my queerness. No matter what I would bring to her, she modeled what authentic love was beyond what the world has told her about my identity, about our existence. And I think being a Black woman and knowing and just feeling and experiencing a world that wants to throw you away, she did the opposite. She wanted to amplify the love and she wanted to share this abundance of love and model it in ways that it can translate, not just from me loving her, but or me loving my family, but a practice of what that love looks like in all types of relationships that I develop within my life and along my life. And if I didn't have that privilege, I would not be who I am today. If I didn't experience that type of love, I would not be able to model that. And I think that's important to talk about because we live in such a toxic and rigid world that parenting looks so many ways, right? And a lot of times parents are stuck in this narrative that separates them from their trans children or, you know, their children that want to do different or, you know, children that didn't live in the country that they originated and they wanted to, like, it just turns into all of these battles instead of like a flow of understanding that person is different from you. And that now, even though you gave birth to them or they're your child, you have to get to know them. Mm. And part of that getting to know them and understanding them is allowing them the space to be their whole selves beyond what we carry with us. And that is the existence that, I share, you know, I don't have any children, but I share with my siblings and I try to embody it so that they can share it with their children and they can share it with their friends, right? I want to model what love looks like, transcending these ideas that we've internalized about love, right? Mm. And how we can open our hearts to truly see our own difference and letting go of what we hold should be rigid because we've been told by our parents or by our culture or by America or by whatever, right? And be able to just sit that aside and take aspects of that that fits with us and explore being more of who we are, right? We're supposed to amplify, not be stuck and rigid. We're creators, right? And so that's why I think it's a privilege, because we all have our own battles. We all hold our own bags and our own packages, right? And in our own experiences, we've all in some ways been told one way. And even though that way didn't feel good, because we weren't exposed to other ways of existence and being as an actual norm, and okay, I won't be punished for this. My children won't be punished for being queer, right? Then it becomes, it lets go, it loosens. It allows space for parenting to just be, I'm getting to know my seed. You know, I don't have to like cookie cutter model this this baby. I'm just building with this new being that's amazing and that's teaching me, right? While I'm teaching them, right? And it becomes a reciprocity in relationship, not this, oh, because I know more, because I'm the parent, or because blah, blah, blah. It loosens, because we're always learning from each other no matter age. We're learning from babies. We're learning from puppies. We're learning from lizards. We're learning from everybody. We're always learning. And I mean, that's part of fitness. We're always adapting to different like scenarios or experiences, right? We're always, we're teaching how to adapt, right? That doesn't stop in the gym or in the fitness field. That actually happens throughout our lives. So seeing these connections are very important to me. When we're boxing and separating things, we don't see the connection of it when we're pushing things away. So we have to pull them back in and be like, oh, actually, that is a part of who I am. Mm. That is a mirror of me, right? It is a reflection of a relationship that I'm a part of, right? And just seeing that helps us to open ourselves. Imagine if there wasn't no punishment around being othered. Oh, Lord, the world would be such an amazing place. Mm. And creative. It'd be so creative because people won't feel restrained, right? To actually be their authentic self and create more, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just share that because I feel like we should always know that we are the authors of our narrative. Mm. No matter how locked in we feel like, we still have the ability to shift and change and honor and acknowledge and become our authentic self.
That's awesome. Round of applause.
Amazing. Well, letting go of ego, learning from each other, love, community, timeless principles right there. Thank you so much, Justice, for sharing your wisdom and experience with us. Where can people purchase your new book coming out in May of this year? Where can people purchase that?
So we're in the pre-sale stage. And if you are following on Instagram, I will actually check out Fitness for All Bodies on Instagram, or Deconstructing the Fitness Industrial Complex. Or no, it's called The Fitness Industrial Complex.
Okay.
Now, which is just for the book.
Okay,
and,
great.
And the book's event and things like that. So if you follow the Fitness Industrial Complex Instagram, you'll definitely be updated.
Awesome.
So, you know, you could get it from Barnes and Nobles. You could get it from, you know, anywhere now that has books.
That's okay, amazing. Perfect. We've purchased a bunch of copies that we're going to be having a giveaway on the podcast and on our social media. So watch out for that. But let's really push these pre-sales, because pre-sales really help indicate to the publishers what is relevant and what is important to the audience. And so the more we can push these, the more they will invest into topics like this, which is what we really need to continue to create change within the fitness industry. So Justice, thank you for doing just that. And
yeah,
thank you for being here.
We really appreciate you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
I'm so grateful. I miss you guys.
We miss you too.
We miss you too.